I so love it when I see children delighting and having great fun, you know, just going around, I don't know, schools or wherever. You just see them just abandon themselves to sheer delight. It's wonderful. Also, it's great when children are caught up in delight of worshipping Almighty God. He's so worthy of our delight and praise and wonder. What then happens to sheer delight in adults? Where does it go to? How can it evaporate when we become adults? Actually, it doesn't always. I can do a jig or a dance when nobody's looking and I'm just worshipping God on my own. Or think of this is dear to our hearts, but woman, of the sheer delight of a new mum with a newborn baby. You can just see delight just all over the radiant of face. What does delight mean? As we heard last week, it means things like take great pleasure in. It means be pleased greatly by. For take delight in so many varied and different things, don't they? I did a Google search and found that somebody said to delight means to succeed at what you strive for. That's one person's understanding. And Google, of course, shows that many commonly delight in food and music and relationship and, would you believe it, in sex too? And don't forget, most importantly, in football. The true supporter delights in soccer played with skill and dignity. So what delights you? What gives your heart real sense of joy and sheer sort of takes off in wonder, lust and wonder, love and praise? What is it? Or for many, it's shopping. For many, it might be a surprise party, or a meal out, or unexpected visit by a dear friend you haven't seen for so long. What is it that brings delight to you? Well, I often might take delight in creature comforts. For instance, some really exhausted, just sitting in the bed and pulling a rabbi duvet open. Nice pillows to relax in. Or maybe a glass of wine and a good novel or a decent film if you can find what I think is a decent film. Clearly, you know, we have been designed to delight. That's been built into our computer and into our whole system. And I would suggest that the Bible tells us to find delight, sheer delight, but not so much in things. Think of 1 Corinthians 13, and it ends, and the greatest of these is love in relationships. The first commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Not to love fast cars, big bank balances, ideal homes. It's to love God and our neighbor as ourselves. Such relationships, it's there that we're to look for delight. We've been crafted by God to delight in close relationships. See the example of a couple of girls, maybe back at church or whilst we're having coffee, and they just love to marvel together, to share together so intensely. It's amazing, isn't it? Till they fall out. Or else, think of the Song of Solomon. Incredible love for a romance for of a person's delight in the partner, the spouse. Incredible the delight that's there exclusively the things I think God so longs us to delight in. We have been designed, crafted to delight in God. And we find our fulfillment in doing what God calls us to do. And that will be different for you as it is for me, than it is for me. We find delight and fulfillment in going God's way. Those are the way that is. These things are to be the things that really capture our hearts, our minds, and our imaginations. Why then is it that men and women rebelled if we're so crafted to delight in God? Why is it that if God gave them the right things to do and the right relationship and all that, that now that's no longer in place and we don't delight in those things? Well, tragically, there is the involvement of a third party, namely Satan. And his chief aim is, of course, to usurp the place of God and God's things in our lives and to show up a rival system to follow. And would you believe it, man and womankind have followed this and taken the bait, hook, line, and sinker. We go God's way and we go Satan's way. And the four means of the close relationships that we are designed to have don't always bring us fulfillment or there are problems in them. And so we move on from them or we feel so hurt by them we can't bear to work through them or whatever it is. The Bible shows us all too well that we now delight in wrong things. If you look in the concordance of the word delight, you'll find the wrong things as well as the good things that man delights in. And we delight in wrong, Proverbs 2 verse 14, in warfare, Psalm 68 verse 30, in lies, 62 verse 1, and so it goes on in deceit and false humility. That's how God sees that we delight in the wrong things. Like Jonah, we're prepared to go anyway, as long as it's not God's direction. But a search through the Bible again will show us that an amazing thing, I think one of the greatest miracles, if not the greatest, that despite the fact we've turned our backs on God and His way, He still is longing to delight in you and in me. That is wonderful. God is for you. In Deuteronomy 30 verse 9, and Jeremiah 31 verse 20, and Isaiah 5 verse 7, just some of the verses where it describes the incredible love, the yearning of God for His people, that's you, and that's me. There's a lovely picture I found of the clouds, and the clouds gave a gap, a heart-shaped gap. And just think of Zephaniah 3 verse 17, how God delights in us, and He sings over us. A love song. I'll show you that picture someday. Well, what most delights our hearts today? And what most delights God's? It is us. That's why He sent Jesus. Because He delights in you. Not as you and I are. But as how He sees, we can be. Yeah, He loves us as we are. I didn't put that right. He loves us as we are. But He loves us too much to leave us. Just as we are. He delights. In especially, it says, when we're obedient. 1 Samuel 15 verse 22 shows that God does not delight in fine worship songs or fine words or rituals, that he delights first and foremost in the obedience of our hearts. And Saul was disobedient. That switched God off. He looks for obedience in us. He doesn't give up on us. His delight is also in when we show justice and mercy. Jeremiah 9, verse 24. And that's great. Tomorrow is fair trade fortnight. So buy a fair trade itself. Ask a restaurant or coffee bar that you're going to, is it fair traded coffee? God delights in things like that. That we show justice and mercy, and that the things we buy are not ripping people off because we get them cheap. God delights in truthfulness, Proverbs 12, verse 22. And so it goes on. But let's look at Psalm 36 and just see there. It's split into three parts. Part 1 is verses 1 to 4. And it shows the incredible moral state of fallen man. And study the wrong things he delights in. The psalmist David observes the delight mankind has in ignoring God. There's no fear of God, no awe of God, no sense of accountability. And so as students, when I was a student, even in my day, we were just so pleased to be away from home, and away from if we grew up in a church, away from all that. Agents to do as we want, to cut out our own design for living and working. But before too long, booze and lack of sleep take the toll. We delight in doing, in having no accountability. Verse 2 stresses society flatters itself, it deludes itself, that we can do just as we please. Jesus underlined that in the way the rich father thought, I'm a good thing, and you can buy the good life, I can get richer and richer. Dictators like President Mubarak forgetting that there would be a time of reckoning. Verse 3, from rebels' mouths come deceit and evil plans. Think of the speeches of President Gaddafi. Think of the speeches that we might make at home. Think of the speeches that are people we thought were our friends have made to us. It's inherent, it's just part of fallen nature, sadly. And instead of delighting in God's ways, man spends so much of his energy, night and day dreaming of wrong things to do, and just dismissing ideas of mercy and righteousness and forgiving people who hurt us. So man's propensity for doing and delighting is so big. So often it's directed in the wrong way. And this is the result of our fallen nature, denying God, denying his ways, are what we should delight in. But part 2 of the psalm begins at verse 5, and it shows us the one in whom we should be delighting. Here we see why God is to be the source of our delight. Your covenant, love, and faithfulness are totally without end, and they reach to the highest skies, to the heaven, to heaven. Verse 6, your faithfulness is as firm as the mighty mountains. Your justice is deep as the deepest ocean. is the sustainer of all life. All God's amazing qualities. They're just too much for our minds to take in. But they're too important to ignore. And we would do so well to make such a psalm as this our study, just looking at God's characters, at his characteristics. And seeing that here is pure gold. The rest is fool's gold. In God, it's a scene well worth exploring all of our lives. Verses 7 and 8 show that the thousands of blessings that will flow from a relationship with this God who is so faithful and constant. His unfailing love inspires David to total trust in him. In your love we find shelter from the storms of life. Like the young bird, the hearing of a danger approaching, gathers itself under its mum's wing and finds shelter there. In verse 8, in your house we find sumptuous fare that sustains all life. Verse 8b, you let us draw so freely from your abundant rivers of delights. He's the source of life. And the delight-giving water is to be found in him. More comforting and faith-building metaphors just tumble out in verses 9. God's the fountain of life alone of supplying an abundant life, nothing else will. In his light alone, we can clearly see through life's fog and understand what this life's maze is about. And he'll show us, your word is a lamp unto my feet. Verses 10 to 12 is concluding prayer. And reminds us the covenant-keeping God. And it tells God, God, this is what you are. I've got this problem. I've got this worry. I've got the enemy after me. Keep faithful. His trust alone is in God. In him is that deep, deep seed of pure gold. Well, there's so many other verses if you do a Google search for delight in God or look at your concordance and read, you know, your Bible. Psalm verses 37, verse 4 tells us delight in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. And he'll give you your heart's desire. Delight in him. And here's one who's found in God all his amazing delight. Isaiah 61 verse 10. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness, as the bride adorns herself with her jewels. Looking to God. And as that Psalm 23 we sung said, I'll have no want. There may be things that I really do feel I need and want, peace or whatever it is. Well, look to God. Keep trusting in him. If you are and it's not coming yet, keep on trusting in him. Because Elijah had to keep looking, didn't he, for the clouds to come. God had promised him help. Had to keep looking to God to provide. So what is your treasure, your delight this morning? Where is it to be found? Is it in God? Or is it in something else? only God will let us know. So seek first His kingdom. Seek God and His kingdom and His righteousness. All these other things will be yours. So towards the conclusion, what will keep us sane when all around seems to be going wrong? When maybe we feel humiliated or just so many unwelcome things happen. Maybe big things like friends lost in earthquakes or in warfare in Afghanistan. Or maybe it's the smaller foxes that keep on, you know, attacking us, hurting us, unsettling us. Or knowing that God is the seer of our delight. And mankind's delight. We were delighted. We were designed to delight in God and in Him. And in our relationships with others, even as they sometimes go perishing, people praying, working. But even Jesus found this life really tough. People deserting him, his family not understanding him. Just so much seemed to go wrong, being betrayed, being put on a cross. Jesus found in his heavenly Father the source of joy, the source of strength to go on, to go on, to go on. Luke 10, verse 21. Then the Holy Spirit, not Jesus summoned up strength himself, but he looked to the Holy Spirit, depended on the Holy Spirit, as you should, as they should. Then the Holy Spirit made Jesus feel very happy. Jesus, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. I praise you because you've hidden these things from the wise and smart people. But you've shown these things to people that are like little children. That's you. Me. Remember how Mary and Martha chose to delight herself in God's presence. Martha was delighted with the fact that Jesus had come by, but then she got distracted. Mary delighted in God, in Jesus with her. Jack is a good example of that, of not losing the direction, the source, and who is the theme of our delight. Jack at age 81, 82, sorry to betray confidences of his, Jack, he knows where to find his delight. If our delight is in the bank balance, hey, I hate to warn you, that's a bad thing to put your trust in. Inflation is going 4 to 5%. It's not worth trusting in God. In God, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full, not partially. And think, oh, it's good to know that Jesus looked full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strange to him, the light is growing on grace. If you read the very end of the Bible, Revelation chapters 21 and 22, especially Revelation 21 verse 22 to Revelation chapter 22 verse 6, you'll find in there that all our needs, all our fears are met in Jesus. Now that does have something of a present fulfillment, but ultimately that's where we're to get our fulfillment and all our delights. Because one day in heaven, that's where delight is to be found. Not in nice houses, not in beautiful church buildings, not even in this sunshine which many of us seem to worship. But in the sunshine, it's Jesus. There's no need of sun in heaven at all. Because Jesus is there. It's light. Hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee this day, tonight, and evermore. It's good to hear kids tonight. Lord, may we do that in you. And I'll walk with you. If life is giving us lens, Lord, help us with you to make it into sweet little peace.